Hello, this is Pastor Corey Ehrman. You're listening to my podcast. I hope it blesses, encourages, and inspires you. I pray that the Holy Spirit will touch you through this teaching. Thank you for tuning in, and God bless. Acts chapter 4, I'm going to read from verse 32. I was meditating on this, and the Lord kind of showed me something that I had never really thought about before, and I preached on this, passage of scripture so many times, but this is something that's going to be unique and fresh. Verse 32, now the multitude of those who believed were of one heart and one soul. Neither did anyone say that any of the things he possessed was his own, but they had all things in common. And with great power, the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. I want to highlight great power and great grace. Amen. Everyone say great power.
Great power.
Everyone say great grace.
Great grace.
You know, that's actually what grace is. You know, a lot of people don't realize what grace is. Grace is the power of God for you to live a supernatural, above average, extraordinary life. You know, if you look at many today in the church world, grace is just a cover-up. But grace is actually an empowerment to live a life that is extraordinary. How many of you want to live an extraordinary life? You don't want to be average. Amen. Hallelujah. Great power, great grace. Hallelujah. Nor was there anyone among them who lacked. There will be not a single person in this church that will lack. We do not tolerate lack here. Thank you for those three claps. Let me try that one more time. We do not tolerate lack in this place. Amen. Hallelujah. We believe in the blessing of God. We believe in prosperity. We believe in increase. We believe in a God that does exceeding abundantly more than enough. Hallelujah. We believe that He is who says He is. He is Al Shaddai, the God of abundance, the God of plenty, the all-sufficient one, the God of the overflow, the God who is more than enough. Hallelujah. When we connect with that great power, when we connect with that great grace, there will be no lack. There's no lack in the kingdom of God. There's no lack in heaven. Amen. Hallelujah. There's no garage sale in heaven. There's no fundraising in heaven. The angels are not trying to hawk one of the pearly gates to make a payment on the throne room. Amen. There's no lack in heaven. Let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. There's no lack in heaven. And that's what happens when great power and great grace is upon God's people. There's no lack. Amen. Hallelujah. Nor was there anyone among them who lacked. For all who were possessors of lands or households sold them and brought the proceeds of the things that were sold. Now, not only that, there's supernatural giving. Not only is obviously in the midst of supernatural increase, supernatural provision, there's also supernatural giving. Because you can't have God bring in supernatural provision and then we not have to have respond, we don't respond in supernatural giving. We have to respond to the blessing of God. When God blesses you, there has to be a response that comes from you. Hallelujah. Whenever God does something in your life, there has to be a response. That's the problem with many people. It's like, you know, the story of the 10 lepers that came to Jesus. I mean, Jesus could see their condition, but he said, what do you want? Well, we want to be cleansed from leprosy. Wonderful. Then go show yourself to the priest and offer the sacrifices. And then, of course, as they went on their way, because it wasn't the priest, it wasn't the sacrifices, it was their obedience and faith that was going to get him healed and cleansed. So while they were on their way, all 10 of them were cleansed from leprosy.
That's right.
But only one of them came back, fell at the feet of Jesus and worshiped him and said, thank you. And Jesus says, because, and then of course he asks, where are the other nine? Many times it's like that. God does a lot of things in people's lives, but and he's like, well, where are they? Where are the other nine? Well, I don't know. Maybe they've gone to the ball game or they went to the pub to celebrate, knocked down a few beers. I don't know. But I'm here. I'm worshiping you. I'm thankful. I'm coming, and there's a response in my life to what you've done for me, and I'm responding. Amen. And then, of course, Jesus says, now you shall be made whole. Because, you know, leprosy will eat away parts of your body. It's one thing to be cleansed from leprosy. It's another thing to get back missing parts of your body. Hallelujah. I mean, your ear will fall off. Your nose will fall off if you're a leper. This man was made whole. The others were cleansed. This man was made whole. There's a big difference in that. So there also always has to be a response when God does something in your life. Because you know what? He actually, I'll tell you right now, that's actually a test. No, he loves you so much. He'll come and bless you. But then he watches the response. He watches to see how you will respond to his blessing. That's why we give. Our giving is a response to his goodness. Our giving is a response to his blessing. It's the goodness of God that leads to repentance. It's the goodness of God. It's his goodness. Great grace, great power, and then there's a great response. I mean, that's a pretty great response when people are selling houses and lands and bringing the proceeds. That is a great response.
Amen.
They were not tipping God. I mean, they were radically worshiping God in their giving. Think about that. Hallelujah. They brought the proceeds that were sold. And then here's the key. And laid them at the apostles' feet. And they distributed to each one as anyone had need. And Joseph, who was named Barnabas by the apostles, which is translated son of encouragement, a Levite of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. Now, this is the first time we see this Bible character, Barnabas. Later on, we see that he is the one that actually found young Paul, Saul, and brought him and took him under his wings and then brought him to Antioch, and they teamed up together to go on the first missionary journey that we have recorded in the book of Acts, Paul's missionary journey. But Barnabas was his partner in that missionary journey. So very powerful. So this actually put him in the ministry. But I want to highlight something here. As I was meditating on this, and of course there's so many different messages you can draw from this. And some of you have heard me preach about, you know, Barnabas, how he was a Levite, but he was out of the call of God because he should have been a priest serving God, but he was basically in Cyprus as a businessman, and he sells the land and brings it, puts the money at the apostles' feet. But I want to highlight this. Apostles' feet. What does that mean, to put the money at the apostles' feet? Obviously, that is surrendering, right? Because later on we find out Ananias and Sapphira attempted to do the same thing, but they couldn't surrender all of it, so they kept back the proceeds, part of the proceeds, and of course, judgment came upon them. But putting it at the apostles' feet is basically leaving, bringing all the proceeds and putting it under their authority. But it's also important for us to understand what it means, not just the authority of the apostles, but what an apostle is and what an apostle is supposed to do. This wasn't so that the apostles could take this money and live this great luxurious lifestyle and live like kings. Again, I'm not against prosperity. You know that. I believe God will give you the good of the land. If you're willing and obedient, God's going to give you the good of the land. You need to have the good of the land. You need to have the best things. But there's also something else we need to understand here. Because apostles operate by strategy. True apostles are kingdom builders. They're advancing the kingdom. They're pioneering things. Do you understand me? And so to advance the kingdom, and so these proceeds must come. There must, if there is money flowing in, there must be an expansion of the kingdom of God, not the kingdom of man. It can't be about somebody and them building their big empire, which unfortunately sometimes we see that. And people see that and they take offense to it. And they stop giving altogether. But don't throw the baby out with the bathwater, because there's just people out there that misuse funds or whatever. And we hear of scandals and this and that. And I've heard my share of them. I've seen, listen, 27 plus years in ministry, and I've seen the bowels of ministry. I've seen the good, the bad, and the ugly. But I keep my heart right. I will not take on offense because of somebody else's wrongdoing. Because somebody else's wrongdoing is not going to lead to my wrongdoing. I'm going to do right. I'm going to do right. I'm going to do right by the kingdom of God. I'm going to obey the word of God, and I'm going to obey my calling, and I'm going to build the kingdom of God because I want to advance the kingdom. Planting churches, establishing schools, raising people up in ministry, going on television, going doing outreaches, soul winning. I mean, we want to expand the kingdom. We are bringing souls into the kingdom of God. That's what this is about. My wife and I didn't come here to build our own little empire. We came here to build the kingdom of God. We had a church, established church of 18 years with 12 full-time staff and interns, and the Lord spoke to me and to come to West Palm Beach where nobody knows us. Nobody knew us when we came here. We had no social media following. We didn't even have 3 months, 6 months to prepare because we couldn't even tell. We couldn't even announce when the church was going to start because literally we didn't know till 2 weeks before the church started. So I didn't have the luxury of coming here, you know, and putting together a team and doing this and training and putting together a staff. It was literally my wife and I and my daughter, who was 12 at the time, in 7 suitcases. We flew with 1-way ticket to Miami International Airport, rented a car. We had no house, no furniture, only the clothes in our back. Amen. Didn't even have a vehicle. I had 2 weeks from the time we landed that we started the church. That's it. All I had was a church that was for rent on Craigslist. Who advertises a church for rent on Craigslist? Only a cheap church. That should have been a red flag. Leaking roof and all kinds. And remember the worms. We'd come to have service Sunday night. There'd be like 1,000 of those little, you know, those little critter worms. They'd be the entire church in the hallway. We'd spend an hour cleaning worms. And then, oh Lord, I don't even want to mention the other stuff we had to clean. Do you remember that? Oh yeah. Well, you showed up. Yeah, you came and saw the clean church probably back then. Oh my God. Anyways. It's about building the kingdom. It's about advancing the kingdom. Now, we are on the precipice of something major, major, major with this church. I'm telling you right now, major. This year, I'm telling you, we're gonna possess a property, something that's major, something that's significant, something that is very significant, big time, major. I shared about this at our vision night. Man, what a powerful vision night we had on Tuesday, and all for all of our members and many, many new members. I believe over 20, 25, 26 new members will be receiving here soon, and when we have the members class, new members class. But I mean, it was a powerful night Tuesday night, and I begin to share some things. But you know, we're on the precipice of doing something major. Really, this everything's about to go to the next level here. Amen. And we're not satisfied with just, you know, having a nice crowd and nice church. And I love all of you, and there's amazing people here, hungry, thirsty for the things of God. But we're here to take the city. Amen. We're here to take back schooling. We're here to take back education. We're here to take back children. We're here to take back the youth. We're here to take back many, many, many things that has been lost. There's a time of restoration coming back to the church, because Jesus is not coming back for a church that's weak. He's coming back for a church that's without spot or blemish, a victorious church, a glorious church, a church that's full of great power and great grace, operating in great power, great grace. That's the Book of Acts church. That must be great power and great grace operating. And as a result, there's great giving because there's a great vision. Because apostles are architects. They're like engineers. They build things from scratch. Because they'll get a blueprint from heaven. It'll come down into their spirit. And they will literally look at empty land and begin to see things. One of the key things that absolutely radically changed my life. When I was a young man in ministry, I had just got started in 1996. I was 26 years old. My first year in ministry. Of course, coming out of Sunni Islam. 5 years with the Baptists. You know, and then I got the baptism in the Holy Ghost and fire, and got the left foot of fellowship from the Baptists, baptized in the Holy Ghost, and I don't even know. And it was just my first few months in ministry. I went back to Turkey. I don't even know how this book. It had to be. it had to be an angel. I'll be honest with you. It had to be an angel that brought me that book, because there's nobody that would even read a book like that. But it was a little mini book. It was a mini book by Oral Roberts about basically the power of praying in tongues. And he talked about in the mini book how he built Oral Roberts University in Tulsa, Oklahoma, back in, I mean, I don't know exactly when he started. I guess it would be 50s or 60s. Basically, he had acquired this plot of land, and there was nothing on it, and he didn't have any money. And the Lord put it on his heart. He said, build me a university. Build me a university that will teach faith and obviously raise people up for the kingdom, for kingdom work. And in this mini book, it was talking about how he would go, in a sense, like Abraham, when God spoke to Abraham, said, go up to this high place, look out as far as you can see. See, how far can you see? You got to see past the tip of your nose. Look out as far as you can see. All that you see, I will give it to you. When you see it, you can take dominion over it. You can take authority over it. You can possess it. And it takes faith to possess it. You have to look out with the eye of faith. So he would go out and look out into this empty plot of land where there was nothing. And the Lord instructed him to pray in tongues. He'd go out there, pray in tongues for hours and hours and hours. And as he would pray in tongues, all of a sudden he began to see buildings, he began to see things, he began to see structures, he began to see this faculty and that faculty, this building and all the different things that would begin. And then he saw the prayer tower and all of these things. Nothing had even existed. But as he was praying in tongues, you know, the Holy Ghost was taking on a blank canvas and painting a vision to expand the kingdom of God as an apostle, because the Lord had called him to a special duty, to a special task, to pioneer something that had never been done before. And then he began to speak it out. He speak it out, and out of his belly as the rivers of living water, and out of his belly as was bubbling up the tongues, the language of the Spirit of God, and the Spirit of God would begin to interpret basically in visions, and that he began to see it. And when he began to see it, he knew that he could have it. And that little mini book absolutely radically changed my life as a young man in ministry. My first few months in ministry, and I took that, man, I tell you, I took that. And that's people ask me, how do you build your ministry? Praying in tongues. Amen. Pray in tongues. That's why Paul says, I pray in tongues more than all of you. And he's not saying that to boast in a way, in an arrogant way, but he's talking about, you know, hey, look, if the man got revelation to write 2/3 of the New Testament, and I believe that was a result of praying in tongues. That's why those prayers that Paul prayed, that we prayed last week. Remember those, the two in Ephesians chapter 1, Ephesians chapter 3, and there's one in Colossians chapter 1, Philippians chapter 1. We prayed those out last Sunday. Amen. And I challenge the church, take these every, who's been doing it? Every day you've been praying the prayers. Three of you, wonderful. Every day, take those prayers that Paul prayed. Go to riverwpb.com, go to the teaching blog. It's August 2022, and I took those prayers from the Amplified Classic and personalized them, wrote it out for you. It's there. Just take them and pray them. The work is done, but you've got to go put in the work. You got to take those prayers and pray them. And then what I do is I pray those and I pray in tongues. I pray those and I pray in tongues. I pray those and I pray in tongues. Because why? Because God's calling you to build something. Every single one of you have a part to play. Every single one, God's going to use your life to build something that's going to last in eternity. Your life is going to matter in eternity. Your life is not just going to be this temporal existence on this planet, some physical, emotional existence where you just lived and you just survived and you just existed. No, your life has a plan. God has a plan. Your life has a purpose. Amen. He's got great plans for your life. Hallelujah. He's going to do mighty things. Those who know their God shall do exploits. This is the time of exploits. Jesus himself said, greater works than these that I have done, you will do also. So come on, somebody. These are the days of you doing the greater works. But you got to get filled with the Holy Ghost. You got to get baptized with fire. You got to get full of faith. You got to take the word of God and you got to speak it. You got to apply it. You got to pray these things out. And you got to walk it out by faith. Because God's going to do something big in this city. And he's going to use you. God's going to do something big in this county. God's going to do something big in this state. God's going to do something big in America. God's going to do something big in the nations through people who are full of the Holy Ghost, on fire, full of faith, rising up, getting a hold of that heavenly divine vision that's going to burn in their spirit. It's going to be like a fire shut up in their bones, and they're going to run with fire. They're going to blaze the trail of revival. They're going to go shake cities. They're going to go shake nations. Ha! Glory to God. It's time to build the kingdom of God. Your Christian life has to go further than just coming to church on a Sunday morning. This is something that's 24/7. In your rising up, in your lying down, you breathe this in, you breathe this out. I mean, it's with you. You carry this with you. If somebody wakes you up 4 o'clock in the morning and they go, speak, it should come out of you. It should be so strong in you. You carry this thing. It's time to build. It's time to build. And like Haggai warned, and I believe that really is a word for America these days. You all live in your paneled houses, but the house of the Lord lies in ruins. Go up to the mountains, bring the wood, the iron, the brass, and build me a house. Consider your ways. It's time to consider our ways because we've got to be kingdom builders. And that's why we have Kingdom Business Fellowship here, encouraging people to be kingdom builders, putting the kingdom first before their business, that their business operates in order to build the kingdom, that it becomes not just a business, but a kingdom business. And I'm going to talking about being an architect of the kingdom of God as a kingdom business builder. This Tuesday, by the way, we got the next Kingdom Business Fellowship Tuesday. Now, I'm going to talk about being an architect, being an engineer in business. See, a lot of times people think that the anointing is just for ministry. Well, for preaching, teaching, laying hands on the sick, whatever, prophesying, that the anointing is for the pulpit. No, the anointing is for everybody. You take this anointing, there's an anointing to prosper. There's an anointing to create wealth. There's an anointing where God's going to give you divine strategies that's going to create businesses that will impact the world and build the kingdom and bring souls into the kingdom and be marketplace ministries. There's going to be powerful things that God's going to do through business people. To where business and ministry is just going to kind of come together. There's not going to be any separation anymore. For too long, the church has separated those things. Hallelujah. And same thing with getting involved in government and politics. The church stayed out of it. Well, it's all evil and wicked. Guess what happens? Evil and wicked people took over. Evil and wicked people took over government. Evil and wicked people took over schools. Evil and wicked people took over media. Evil and wicked people took over media. And Oral Roberts was actually a pioneer in television. They think about this. NBC, CBS, ABC, they used to put his 10 crusades on prime time television. You can pull up some of those old, you know, black and white crusade videos, and you can watch them on YouTube. You can see from the healing revival of the 50s what had took place in America. And think about what, and then you know what? He came under so much attack. They said, no, the devil, the TV is the devil's invention. You shouldn't be on television. Those are the Christians that cannot see past the tip of their nose. So narrow-minded that they can look through a keyhole with both eyes. God wants to expand our vision. In order to see expansion in finances, the vision has to expand. Because the bigger the vision, bigger the provision. Come on, somebody. That's why I challenge you to always have big vision. Believe God for big things. Nothing has changed. It's the first message I preached, the first Sunday of the church. Believe God for big things. There's coming a supernatural acceleration. It's already upon us. God is able to do exceeding abundantly more than what we ask or think, according to that mighty power that is at work in you. What kind of power? The power that created the universe. Yes. The power that raised Christ from the dead. The power that, hallelujah, the power that resurrects the dead. The power that heals the sick, the leper. The power that opens blind eyes. The power. Come on, somebody. There's so much power that's on the inside of you. There's no lack of power. With great power and great grace. That's upon the church. This is the time where we have to step into that great power, great grace. And then there has to come a great response. You see, as great power and great grace came upon the church, there was a great response. Such response that people were literally selling houses and lands and bringing the money to put at the apostles' feet. Not so that the apostles can live in luxury, but so that the apostles can build as architects and engineers the kingdom, the vision that is, because Jesus gave them a great vision. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. Go to every nation. And here's only 12 of them right here. And it's a young church, but, and they haven't even gone really, honestly, past Jerusalem at this point. And barely touching Judea. Haven't even gone to Samaria yet. Haven't even gone to the ends of the earth. But that's the vision. Go to the ends of the earth. Go to every nation. The nations are ready. Ask of me and I'll give you the nations for your inheritance. So we're here to build the kingdom. And we got to become kingdom builders. Because that's what happens. Great power, great grace when you're a kingdom builder. Great authority. Hallelujah. Great power, great grace. Great response. Because the work is great. It's like David, when he was not allowed to build the temple, and God spoke to him and said, your son Solomon will build the temple. And here's David's response. I am so offended. I'm leaving this church and I'm never coming back again. No, he said, the work is great. My son Solomon is young. I will do everything I can to pay for it. If I can't build it, I'll pay for it. Come on, somebody. When you understand it's not just about you, it's about the kingdom of God, then your perspective changes. Then you don't take things personally. And then you realize that time is short anyways. We'll be gone here in the blink of an eye. Before you know it, we'll be gone. And all the stuff that we fret over, the petty things that people fight over, is just absolutely, totally meaningless. But the enemy will try to get you chasing all those little foxes. He'll get you chasing all those little foxes. When there's 99 things going right in your life, he'll try to get you to focus on that one thing that's not going right. And he'll get you to fret over that. He'll get you worried about that. He'll get you focused on that because he is a vision stealer. He's a vision killer. Don't let that vision go out. Let that vision burn on the inside of you. God's going to use you. Great power, great grace, but there's a great response because there's a great work to be done. The work is great. The work is great. That's what David said. The work is great. We must build a house for God. This shall be a house for God. And it has to be the best. He gave his personal treasury. He gave from the kingdom treasury. Then he called the whole nation to give, and they outgave him. So here's David, a king, a very wealthy king, but it wasn't about his wealth or luxury. It was about the kingdom. And actually, when he was focused on his own wealth and luxury, that's when he fell into adultery. He should have gone to war. When the kings go to war, but he stayed home. Yes. And he was idle. Yeah. And that's when he got tempted. Yes. So you got to be focused on what God has got for your life. And you're going to have to go to war. Yes. You're going to have to go to war. There's a war for this nation. There's a war for this city. There's a war for your kids. Yeah. There's a war for your community. There's a war. Hallelujah. We're not on a cruise boat. We're on a battleship. Some churches, you go to them, they're like a cruise ship. Disney cruise. literally built by Disney. Kids department, built by Disney. Brought to you by Disney. That's what we're dealing with. There's a war. There's a war for your soul. There's a war. There's a war for the things that God wants to accomplish through you. Stand your ground. Be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. There shall be great power upon you. There shall be great grace upon you. And then there shall be a great response from you. And there shall be a great work that will be accomplished and manifested through your life. I prophesy this over you right now in the mighty name of Jesus. I thank you, Lord, for each and every person here. These are all earthen vessels, but they are full of treasure. They are full of God's heavenly treasure. I thank you. I thank you. No matter what has happened till now, it doesn't matter. Even as today, they make a decision. From this day forward, everything's going to change. Because I'm going to have great power operating in my life. I'm going to yield to that great power. I'm going to yield to that great grace. And there shall be a great response that will come out of me. And there shall be a great work that will be accomplished in and through my life. I thank you for every person in this place. Everyone that watches, that they hear this. And this gets into their spirit and it burns in their spirit. I thank you for it in Jesus' mighty name. And if you believe it, shout amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you for tuning into my podcast. I hope that you have been blessed. I would like for you to consider two things. Number one, subscribe to our show to receive notifications of our new podcasts. Number two, support our ministry of reaching the nations with revival by clicking on the link in the description or visiting our website, riverwpb.com. Thank you for tuning in. Look forward to you joining our next podcast. God bless you.